Bienvenidos a Rise and Shine, un momento de tranquilidad, música y muy buenas charlas. Rise and Shine, con Alvin Adams.
Hola from beautiful downtown Buenos Aires, center of my universe and yours. You're listening to Urbana FM 89.5. Alvin Adams at the microphone, bringing you a totally new weekly program in English, which we are calling, not surprisingly, for this hour of your Saturday morning, Rise and Shine. The idea of the show is to offer you a conversation with one or two different guests each week from all walks of life, doing all kinds of things with all kinds of stories. And as with all programming on Urbana FM, music is part of the show. We aim to have some fun today and to make this your day. Dale!
I'm gonna write a tear-stained letter. I'm gonna mail it straight to you. I'm gonna bring back to your mind what you said about always being true, about our secret hiding places being daily satisfied. I can see you sitting and reading it while you hang your head and cry. I just hope you're not so sad that you're gonna go down suicide. I'm gonna write a tear-stained letter, put it special delivery, 'cause it's gonna be full of stuff that's only known to you and me. About half a time I get turned on, you turn me off and bring me down. It'll be about the darkest news that ever did arrive in your hometown. It'll be about the saddest thing your mailman ever did bring around. I'm gonna write a tear-stained letter. I'm gonna tell you one more time that you still could reconsider and come back to being mine. And if you think about what I'm saying, it'd be hard to refuse. Just be sure you think a long time on the answer that you choose. It will be a most important piece, a personal private news. I'm gonna write a tear-stained letter, mark it personal private news, and I hope you'll keep it to yourself and don't go around crying the blues, giving off a bad impression as to what went really wrong, when what it was that suddenly the music was all gone. And this man and woman got cut off in the middle of our song. I'm gonna write a tear-stained letter. I'm gonna put it to a tune. So I'll be sending with it a sweet melody for you, and not some red-hot upbeat zinger meant to set your body on fire, but a hunk of love included, meant to take you a little higher and to settle on your sweet, sweet mind at night when you retire. I'm gonna write a tear-stained letter.
Esto es Rise and Shine.
So today's show is about Buenos Aires and food. Food here is great, don't get me wrong, but is it all that it can be? In this morning's conversation, we'll be talking about what is now and what can be, about new departures and new directions in Argentine food. With us in the studio this morning is Dan Perlman, a chef, sommelier, distinguished food critic, author of the beautifully written blog Salt Shaker. It really is cool.
Thank you, Alvin.
A regular on our show. And with Dan is Martin Molteni, chef, restaurateur, teacher. He is the owner of Pura Tierra in Belgrano, and that is at 3 de Febrero, 1167, to be exact. Martin is one of Argentine's young Turks, if you will. It's an expression we use in history to suggest someone who is new and fresh and reforming. Challenging the tried and true, providing some old and some new at the same time. Reviewing and innovating and reviving traditional Argentine foods and dishes, which appear somehow to have lost their way over the years. And before we get to the answers, a housekeeping note. Past programs of Rise and Shine are now available for download from the Urbana FM website. That's www.urbanafm.com.ar. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
We have a full plate, as it were, today. Martin, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background of food.
Okay, well, I started at 15 years old in Argentina, which was pretty strange because nobody was on cooking here. So then I worked a little. Then I traveled to Australia to learn to make my studies. And then I went to France to make my basics in culinary skills. And now I'm here trying to look for the real Argentinian flavors and developing them in my restaurants,
yes.
Actually.
And Dan, your background in this work.
Well, I also started at about 15 years old in a neighbor's restaurant. And most of my career was spent in Italian restaurants, both as a chef and then later as a sommelier. Mostly in the United States, in Michigan and then New York. And then I moved here about 5 years ago and opened a small restaurant, what's called a Puertas Cerradas, an in-home restaurant, where I basically play in the kitchen and serve people whatever I want to serve them.
And you give classes too.
Yes, I also teach. I teach cooking classes as well.
I'm still trying to debone that pigeon, I think, that we studied months ago in the dead of the heat of the summer.
Yes.
Here. The neighbor's restaurant, was it an Italian restaurant?
It was an Italian restaurant, yes.
And age 15, what brought you into the kitchen at age 15? Did your mother say, get in here and help me peel the potatoes or what?
Oh, yes, I was lucky because my family was pretty open. Normally at that stage, the Argentinian family wants you to study a career, to be professional. But I was more in a creative area in some way, so I decided to go for the kitchen, and I found that it was what I loved, and I got really passionate about that. So,
no lawyer, no doctor, no engineer,
no real.
What do your parents think about all of this?
Now they enjoy it
because you're a success.
Because they can eat.
they can get good food at your restaurant.
They enjoy me being a chef. Really.
Why do Australia instead of Los Estados Unidos?
Yes, it's true.
For studies.
I actually was looking for Switzerland or the United States, but I was working in the opening of the Hyatt Hotel, the Park Hyatt Hotel, and there was an English chef who was running the mansion, mansion of the Alza Gonsue restaurant inside the Hyatt, and he told me about Australia, and he told me a lot of nice things, so I decided to go there and discover some part of the world that I didn't know. Really.
That's the way it is in life, isn't it? Things just happen. And if you're on the qui vive, you pay attention to that and you follow up your instincts, right? I think, huh?
That's the way
I see it. Dan, the extent you can generalize, difficult. How do you see restaurant fare here in Buenos Aires today?
Well, I think it's there are too many restaurants that have what seems to be the exact same menu. It's a common complaint that expatriates here say over and over again. You can memorize the menu and walk into any place. You don't even have to look at it. You know what they have, and the only thing that changes is the price.
Asado.
They have the items
boiled
from the
vegetables.
Parrilla, boiled vegetables, except maybe creamed spinach or acelga, and milanesas, and pastas that are usually overcooked with the same selection of four or five sauces.
And no soup.
No soups.
And no spices.
I'm convinced Argentine cuisine is the only cuisine on the planet that has no soup.
Yes.
Well, I'd love to ask why, but continue with your analysis here.
I don't know why, but I think that's starting to change. And I think that's what today's show is about, mm-hmm. is that there's starting to be some movement. Mm-hmm. Now, whether or not that homogeneity of the menus is something that comes from history and tradition and just hasn't changed, or that people haven't felt like they're adventurous, or maybe it's just been lack of ingredients over history. And I've been here just a little over 5 years, and I can remember 5 years ago how difficult it was to find many ingredients other than if you went to very selective markets. That's changing. You can find a lot more things now.
Martin, what would you say?
Well, I think we come from a really traditional background. The characteristics in Argentina is that you have a really good beef, and you don't have good fish, because the ports, you know, for the fishing men, is not very available. Our coast is not very suitable for fishing, so you don't get fish. We don't have the tradition to work the land, so we don't have a huge variety of vegetables, just the base. And then we have a good beef, so we have the habit to eat beef all the time. At least it was like that until the 90s when the war started to open, you know, and we have more connection with other countries, and we start to receive more people from abroad. So we start to get new ideas, new
but
products.
But not until the 90s, that late, that recently.
Yes, it was like that. I mean, the 90s, the 80s, probably there was no restaurants. Every restaurant served you milanesa, grilled meat, pasta, and that was it.
Yes, I remember the first time I came to Argentina, which was around 6 years ago, and I actually looked in preparation for coming to the show this morning. I still have a copy of my guidebook. It has about 120 restaurants in it, and other than three or four high-end Italian and Spanish restaurants, everything else is a steakhouse.
Really?
There's nothing else recommended in the entire guidebook.
Really?
And
I
think that's, you know, if I think back to when I first went to New York, which was at the end of the 70s, early 80s, New York was much the same. It was old style French. If you think about it, it was all the real
New
restaurants.
York? Yes, my town.
Yes, you could go to Chinatown and find things, but the real eating out was all at either steakhouses or fancy French restaurants. There wasn't, you know, or some fancy Italian restaurants, but it was all very prescribed. Now there's a lot of creativity, and I feel very historically honored in the sense that I got to New York at the point when that was starting to change and develop. And
Were you a part of that change?
Well, I was certainly working in restaurants. I don't know that I was had any force behind that because
I was just
a cook.
Why the change in New York? Why the change in Buenos Aires? What has happened? The globalization and computers, and people are more conscious of tastes and things elsewhere?
Well, I think that's certainly a big part of it. You know, the difference between being able to simply pop onto the internet and watch a video, see pictures of, see recipes of things that you might have only heard about very distantly 30 years ago or whatever. Mm. And also with shipping, you know, just the availability of ingredients has changed both here.
Yes. Air service, air transport.
Yes. Right. People started to look for new things, definitely.
What new ingredients are you using in your restaurant, Martin?
Well, now we are we have a lot of different markets open to look for our products. For example, in our restaurant, we do the central market, the big central market. You have to go to Ezeiza and buy there. You have to buy by box, you know, big boxes of 20, 25 kilos. That it's not that easy
like
if
Costco.
You don't have a big restaurant, you know. You have to use a lot of products.
Do they have restaurants out there?
No, they don't. In Ezeiza.
Yeah, Ezeiza, not the market.
No.
Like Les Halles.
They have little tents where somebody's cooking.
Parisa.
Panchos.
Panchos, hamburguesas, choripan, and parisa. Yes.
That's our background in some way. But then you have the Oriental Market in Belgrano,
yes,
where you have a huge variety of products. Mm-hmm. There we get the different vegetables, we get really fresh fish, we get some seafood, you know, really interesting seafood.
Is the seafood generally good in Chinatown?
It is good, but it depends. You don't have a consistency in some way. Mm. Yes, you have to really look after what is best that day. Mm. You cannot rely on quality all the time.
Do you bring in stuff from overseas?
Not really, because we work in an Argentinian way, so we bring stuff from different points of the country. You know, fruits from Northwest. Northeast, some potatoes from Northwest, some fruit.
Anything from Tierra del Fuego?
From the south, we get some red fruit, some mushrooms, some special herbs, but no more than that.
And they come by air or by truck?
No, by truck normally.
By truck. And they're fresh? Pretty fresh?
Yes, they arrive fresh, but it's because we work to get them fresh. Because if you have to rely in a
purveyor. How do you do that? You actually ride the truck.
I have friends.
You sit in the back there.
You have to know somebody over there, and he can collect them for you, or he can buy them for you, and then send them back.
That's the way
back.
It works here. You have to know somebody, even to buy mushrooms.
Even to buy mushrooms.
Right. Yep. We'll take a little break here to hear some great, cool music from Urbana FM. We'll be right back.
Regresa Ala Adams, Rise and Shine, por Urbana.